Welcome to Berean Bible Church Podcast. I'm Ryan, the online campus director, and happy you're tuning in. Our goal is to make more and better Jesus followers. The way we do that is in three ways. First, we have Sunday morning gatherings in four different locations here in upstate New York. We also meet in small groups across the region for different days and times where small groups of us can get together and share in wonderful food and great fellowship. Lastly, we have something called the growth process, where we can take you through what it means to be a Jesus follower and help you grow in your faith. So whether that's the basics of what communion is, or what is baptism and what does it symbolize, or how to share your faith, or even what your spiritual gifts are, we have a place to do that. I encourage you to reach out to us to help you with your next step, whether it's finding a location to attend, baptism, finding a mentor, or whatever that next step is for you. Go ahead and go to bbctransform.org, click on new button, and fill out our connect card. We'll get back to you. I hope you enjoyed today's message.
Well, good morning, Berean. Good morning. My name is Tyler. It's my privilege to be with you. I have the great honor of being part of the team here. I love serving alongside so many awesome people as staff and volunteers. You guys do an awesome job at serving this community, and I really appreciate it. And today we're going to be wrapping up our Asking for a Friend series. We've dealt with some difficult questions over the course of this series, and today will be no exception. So to get us started, I want to remind us of some words spoken by Dr. Martin Luther King. He said, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." And over 60 years later, after he gave that speech, we still seem to have struggles with racism. And we're going to be talking this morning about that, because one of the questions that I hear a lot is, are Christians racist? There's this idea out there that Christians are, for some reason, racist. And it came out a lot in 2020. It's come out since then. But there have been criticisms of the church and of Christianity of, is it a religion of racism? Well, personally, I don't think so. But I want us to think about it together, and I want us to seriously look at this question. And so to do so, I'm going to start by showing you a series of pictures, and I want you to kind of look at them with me and really think about what they evoke in you. So the first one is supposed to be a picture of Jesus. Now, if you're looking at this and your first thought is that's not an accurate depiction of Jesus, he's got a lot of the things we associate with him. He's got the crown of thorns, he's got the cross, but the skin color looks wrong. And so we might be thinking to ourselves, well, that's not an accurate picture of Jesus. Well, let's look at another one. This is an iconic picture of Jesus. It's been used throughout churches throughout the world. I actually, when I was teaching second and third grade, I had a student who had not this exact picture, because this one's on a television screen, but a framed picture that looked just like this at her desk every day. And at one point, I was telling them to clear off their desks, and I didn't know what the picture frame was of, and so I told her to move. She's like, "That's my picture of Jesus. You can't move that." But we look at this one, and we're like, oh, yeah, we see that one. We may recognize that more quickly as Jesus, but the reality is this one isn't accurate either. This picture is also not a real picture of Jesus, but this is closer to what a modern Middle Eastern man, like the region that Jesus came from, looks like. And so as we look at this picture, it's a little bit closer to what Jesus may have actually looked like. Although even this one might not be quite right. You see, they've skulls of people who lived in the area of Galilee where Jesus came from. They've taken skulls of people who died around the same time Jesus did, and they've used AI now to do a rendering of what a typical Galilean man of that time frame would have looked like. And it looks like this. And so most of us look at this and we're like, we don't recognize that necessarily as Jesus. But as best we can guess, this is close to what Jesus would have looked like when he was actually alive on earth. So today we're dealing with the question, we're asking the question, are Christians racist? Because that's really what most people are asking. When they're asking the question, is Christianity a racist religion? What they're really asking is, are the Christians I know racist? Are they going to discriminate against me? And just to kind of give you an overview of what we're not going to discuss today, we're not going to go through the entire history of racial discrimination in America, because that's not really the question in front of us. We're not going to try to look at just buzzword terms like Black Lives Matter, white privilege, or social justice, or any other polarizing terms like that. Because I believe all of those are symptoms of the real problem of racism. And so rather than just deal with symptoms, I want to look at the actual problem. So here's the thing. The question, are Christians racists, is a fair one to ask. Because even though we're not going to go through all the history, it has been true that people who have claimed the name of Jesus have used their beliefs to justify racism, but they often have to twist them to make it fit. Universities will teach that religion is a construct of culture that's used to control a population. And if a religion is created by a culture, then it would make sense that that religion would typically stay mostly within that culture. And this theory is supported by the data, except for one case. You see, most religions are started by one culture and they stay in one or a few. Buddhism was started in Asia, and today, most of the people who are Buddhists are still in the Asia-Pacific region. Same thing with Hinduism, started in India, and most of the people who practice Hinduism, most of them live in the Asia-Pacific. Islam came out of the Middle East. It came out of the Middle East, Northeastern Africa, and there's still a sizable population of practicing people who practice Islam in that area. Judaism also came out of the Middle Eastern region, and you can see here most of the people who practice Judaism, a fair number of them are either in North America or still in the Middle East. But then we get to Christianity, and this is where Christianity is different. You see, Christianity was also started in the nation of Israel. Jesus was an Israelite. He was a Jewish man, and he started the faith there of practicing Christianity. But today, less than 1% of practicing Christians still live in the Middle East. Christianity, unlike any other religion, has less people who follow it living in the region where it started. Now, what does this tell us about Christianity? Well, it tells us that Christianity has found a home in every culture in the world. There's also more nations, more areas covered in Christianity than any of other of these major religions. Christianity has found a home in all of the different cultures of the world. So what is it about Christianity that makes it multicultural like this? Well, if you would look with me, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2. In your chair Bibles, it's going to be on page 943. And if you don't have a Bible or you'd like one that's slightly easier to understand, perhaps, feel free to take that one. Or perhaps you do have a Bible, but you know someone who needs one. Feel free to take it. We like to see them out and used. And so the Apostle Paul wrote the letter to the church in Ephesus, and they were dealing with a lot of different issues. We're going to look at what he has to say about how Christians are to look at people who are different from them. So we're going to be starting in verse 11. Paul wrote this: "Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope." Paul reminds his audience of the exclusivity that was found in the Jewish culture where Christianity was started. You see, in that culture, the Jewish people were in and everyone else was out. The word Gentile that Paul uses here refers to all non-Jewish people. And so to follow God, you had to become a Jew. There was a process that a Gentile could go through to become a Jewish person by eating kosher, making animal sacrifices, celebrating their feasts and their traditions. But because so few people did this, this resulted in a prejudice by the Jews against the Gentiles. And they often called them derogatory names, especially when the church was starting out. There were problems between the Jewish followers of Jesus and the non-Jewish followers of Jesus. And they would sometimes call them names like uncircumcised heathens. And the Jewish people were the chosen people of God. And the Gentiles, before they came to know Jesus or before they came to know God, they were living without God and without hope. But here's the thing. The Bible and Jesus changed all of that. Look with me in verse 13. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people in his own body on the cross. He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. Jesus breaks down walls of hostility between people groups. Jesus breaks down the dividing walls that come between us. Jews and Gentiles are united into one people following Jesus. This is a mind-blowing concept. It doesn't matter what nationality, ethnicity, or culture, we all can be brought near to God. This happens by being united with Christ. When you're in Christ, the dividing walls of hostility have been broken down. Look at verse 15. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciles both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility towards each other was put to death. There's peace between us and God calls us to have peace with others. The dividing walls of hostility Jesus tore down. Paul talks about the Jews and the Gentiles being united together. Well, keep in mind again, in his language, in his words, he had two words for two different races. It was Jews and it was everyone else. So you and I, if you're not Jewish, then you're part of the Gentiles. And if you are Jewish, you're part of the Jewish people that he talked about. We're all made together in Christ. We're all offered to be united as one people. So Christianity has found a home in every culture of the world because Jesus didn't die for just one culture. Jesus died for every person. And so there's peace where there was once division. The hostility between people groups is supposed to be put to death. And it's not saying that we all become Jewish. Jesus created one new people from all of the groups. Christianity is something new. It's a new people with a new covenant, relating to God in new ways, without the racial hostility between people. Look with me at verse 17. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jewish people who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. All of us have the opportunity to come to the Father through the Spirit because of the Son. This is the gospel, the good news of peace. It means peace with one another, peace with God. It doesn't matter if you're Jewish or not, if you're black or white, Asian or Hispanic, we're all united together in Christ. All old hostilities are put to death. We're brothers and sisters, each one adopted into one family. And this is a huge change from how the people who followed Judaism saw things. And it took a lot for the original church to understand this. In fact, for Peter, who was one of Jesus' 12 disciples, to be convinced that this was true, God had to, number one, send an angel to a Gentile, commanding him to send for Peter by name. Number two, he had to show Peter a vision of unclean animals where Peter was told, don't call something unclean if God has called it clean. And number three, this vision had to get repeated again three times. Number four, the Holy Spirit had to speak directly to Peter, telling him that these men were from him. And then Peter traveled to find a gathering of Gentiles who were all eager to hear the gospel message. After all this, Peter learns what he summarized about God's plan in Acts 10. He says, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right." It took quite a lot for Peter to come to this particular realization. He had to wrestle through things he had been taught about clean and unclean people. So what about us? What is it that we have to confront when it comes to this issue of racism? Well, the most basic definition of racism is to believe that one race is somehow superior or inferior to one another. And the reality is that modern racism is a direct descendant of Charles Darwin. In fact, we talked last week about looking at life through the proper set of glasses. And if you weren't here for our question, for our sermon on Is Christianity Anti-Science, I highly recommend you go back to our website and check it out. Or you can go to the podcast and you can hear the version that was here at Bainbridge. And Pastor Ron did a phenomenal job. He had these pink glasses on, and he talked about how the worldview, the framework you set on yourself, colors how you see everything else. And this, the theory of evolution has continued to do that, and a lot of modern racism is an outgrowth of that. In fact, the title of Charles Darwin's book, the full title, is The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection or The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. Evolution at its core is natural selection for the purpose of survival of the fittest, and Charles Darwin was always arguing for and defending racial extermination. He said this, "At some future period, not very distant as measured by centuries, the civilized races of man will almost certainly exterminate and replace throughout the world the savage races." Evolution has shaped our culture's view of humanity. Now, even the fact that we believe that there are different races is a direct outgrowth from this evolutionary idea. Now, don't get me wrong, there were types of discrimination that existed before Charles Darwin popularized this idea of evolution. And hate between nationalities has existed for a very long time. But to distinctly put it as different races of people was not really a thing before Charles Darwin's evolution. Even leading evolutionist Stephen Jay Gould admits, he said, "Biological arguments for racism may have been common before 1859, but they increased by orders of magnitude following the acceptance of evolutionary theory." Darwin himself considered Australian Aborigines a missing link between ape-like ancestors and human beings, resulting in thinking of them as less than. It resulted in terrible prejudices and injustices towards them as a quote-unquote inferior race. And so as a result of Darwinian evolution, people started thinking in terms of different people groups, not just as neighbors who look slightly different, but as different races. And this has resulted in many people having ingrained prejudices against other groups of people. The thinking was that humanity could only progress if we made some type of way towards racial purity. This led to Nazism in Germany and the belief that the Aryan race was the master race, more evolved than others. Hitler called the Jews a parasitic race and sought to exterminate them and other inferior people, like blacks, homosexuals, and the mentally ill and physically disabled. From Nazism to African slavery to the Ku Klux Klan, modern racism is a myth fueled by evolution. In contrast to that, here's what the Bible says. Acts 17:26, "From one nation, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries." Lately, some evolutionists have rejected Darwin's view and are borrowing from this biblical view that we are all one people of one race. An article by someone named Frey Flam came out, and it was called Science's Biggest Blunder, which said, "Race is perhaps the worst idea ever to come out of science." You see, even modern scientists are recognizing that the so-called racial distinctives aren't really based in biological science. And you may be thinking, okay, wait, but I know that there are people who have different features from me, and they usually tend to come from the same place. There are different skin colors and racial features. Well, what's interesting is if you take any two people anywhere in the world, the genetic basic differences between those people is around 0.2%, even if they come from the same people group. These so-called racial characteristics that people think are major differences, such as skin color, eye shape, etc., they only account, those differences only account for 0.012% of genetic differences in human biological variation. Dr. Harold P. Freeman said, if you ask what percentage of your genes is reflected in your external appearance, the basis by which we talk about race, the answer seems to be somewhere in the range of 0.01%. Basically, what the Bible already said, science is now confirming. There is only one human race in the entire earth. All human beings in the world today are classified as Homo sapiens. Scientists admit that biologically, there is only one race of humans. C. Laurel Brace said, race is a social construct derived mainly from preconceptions conditioned by events of recorded history. It has no basis in biological reality. And Laurel C. Brace is a biological anthropologist. In other words, the so-called racial differences that we have between people groups is superficial. It's outward appearances based on that rather than scientific fact, and it's not based on clear biblical reasoning. ABC News said, what the facts show is that there are differences among us, but they stem from culture, not race. The only reason that people think these differences are major is because they've been brought up in a culture that has taught them to see differences this way. But true biblical thinking eliminates racism. And this is a challenge that we face, is that we see with our eyes differences between us and other people, and so we think that there might be something there. But the reality is that none of us are that different from one another. You see, racism isn't a skin issue. It's a sin issue. Now, this might be a little confusing, but I'm not actually white. That's the term that most people use for people with my skin tone. But the reality is that we all have pigmentation in us that makes us a different shade of brown. The other reality is that some people get referred to as black, but that's not actually accurate either. We're not different colors, we're different shades of the same color. And that's another biological reality that reinforces the biblical truth that we are all one race. I spent many years growing up in Christian camping. My dad's been a camp director for my entire life. And when we lived at a camp in Massachusetts, the ministry there spent a lot of time and effort to bring in staff people from other countries. So I've had the pleasure and opportunity of working alongside brothers and sisters in Christ from many different countries. And when I would look around the dining hall at camp, I would see all of these different shades of brown, of people's skin color. And I would think to myself, this is kind of cool, because to me, it's a picture of what heaven's going to look like when people from all of these different nations come together and are serving and worshiping the King of Kings. Sometimes we still get stuck in seeing the differences that are external, and we think in terms of colors. We even sing about it. In church, how many of you grow up singing the song, Jesus loves the little children, all the little children of the world, right? How does that song go? Red and yellow, black and white. People have since rewritten it, and I like the new lyrics better. They go, Jesus loves little children, all the children of the world, shades of brown from dark to light. All are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Now, I think the song was written with good intention, but I think it was missing something important, which is the truth that we're all from them. The Bible teaches us about Adam and Eve and how we all come from them. We're all brown, we're just different shades. Genetics proves that we're descended from the same humans. We're not more human than other people. In John 7:24, he says not to judge by appearances, but to judge with right judgment. 1 Samuel 16 says, the Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. That's why we want to treat every person with dignity and respect, no matter their skin tone, their age, or their appearance. We need to see people the same way God does. And we can't make assumptions about a person based on their appearance. Because our current divisions that we see in our world when it comes to the issue of racism revolves around this one question: which race are you? I had a friend in college who got upset because people would assume that her family came from one nation when they actually came from a different one. And a lot of people made assumptions about her because of how she looked, and they thought she came from one place when she came from another. But the reality is that's even the wrong question to be asking. It's not the question, what race are you? We need to, when asked that question, we need to answer with the truth: I'm human. When asked what race you are, just answer, I'm human. Because there's only one race, the human race. There's no white or black, yellow or red, only shades of brown. So you may be sitting here thinking, okay, Tyler, I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you, and I don't have prejudices that I'm not dealing with. What is this? Why do I need to care? What does this change for me? What difference does this make? Well, here's the thing. Jesus gave us our marching orders. In Matthew 28, he said, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One of my favorite things to do is hear about what God is doing in other cultures, other nations. You know, my parents are missionaries with Bible-Centered Ministries International, and they're missionaries to the U.S., but because of that opportunity, I've gotten to know missionaries in different countries. I spent a year at the Word of Life Bible Institute. A lot of my friends who went there are now serving as missionaries in other countries. And hearing stories from these people about what God is doing to reach all of the nations gets me really excited. Now, I'm here, and I'm serving Jesus here, and I'm trying to reach people here, but sometimes it's good to take a step back and look at the big picture of what God is doing globally, and hear about the stories of how he's bringing Muslim people to himself in the Middle East, or people in Asia, or people in Europe, where churches have been dying for centuries. There's stories of revitalization coming in. We're called to go to all nations. We're not called to segregate into different groups. We're actually called to go towards differences and make disciples of all nations. Because Jesus breaks down those dividing walls of hostility, not just between races, but between ideologies, identities, and all forms of prejudice. 1 John chapter 4, 19 and 21, we love each other because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people who we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command: those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters. So a simple step we can take today is to refuse to be brainwashed by the world. If you're curious about more of how science backs up the biblical view that there is one human race, a book recommendation by Ken Ham and Charles Ware is One Race, One Blood. It deals with the biblical answer to racism and goes a lot more into depth about some of the things I've just been able to touch on. Or you can visit the Answers in Genesis website. They've got a ton of resources on this. And they've done a lot of work talking about how the people groups that we self-identify with don't have a basis in science or in scripture. And we can let people know the truth. We are all created by God, and only he can heal our divisions. So even if racism is not a thing you struggle with, when you hear someone dealing with it, share Jesus with them. Let them know how he can break down the walls of hostility that they're feeling, that they're seeing. If you know someone who is being mistreated because of the way they look or because of the people group they come from, as Christians, we should say something about it. Monday night, I went with my dad to the movies, and we saw the new biopic about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. If you don't know who he was a pastor who lived in Germany during the rise of the Nazis. And there was a scene in the movie where he's meeting with these church leaders from Europe and problem for more than just... And there, it's before it's well known that Hitler was a problem for more than just Germany. And so the church leaders are asking Dietrich Bonhoeffer, why are you bringing this up? Like, he's just some crazy guy from Germany. And Dietrich is trying to tell them that Hitler had to invade the church. He had to make alliances with church leaders who would rewrite sections of scripture and preach messages about how great he was, because the biblical truth combats what he was trying to do. And Dietrich says this guy's ideas are evil, and the church should be the first people to say it, not the last. We're all created by God. And as his people, we're called to share his message of peace with one another. As we look out at different groups of people, we're called to see them as one race, because that's what the Bible teaches us. Science backs that up. If you want to solve the issue of racism, it's simple. You've got to believe in the Bible. You know, we've spent millions of dollars trying to solve racism problems. People try to pass new laws and create new institutions. But if people don't have the foundation of God's truth, all of those different things are going to fade away, because the reality is that racism is based on a lie. And the way you combat lies is with the truth. And it wasn't just Darwin's lie, it's Satan's lie. Because he loves to divide. He loves to divide God's image bearers. But we can't allow him to succeed, because we're one race, one color, one humankind, all who desperately need the love and mercy of Jesus. I mentioned earlier that growing up at a camp that made a special intention to bring people from other nations to come and serve for the summer was really cool, because it gave me a picture of what heaven is like. Well, in Revelation 7, John wrote, "After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb." People from every nation, tribe, and people and language will one day be gathered around the throne of the Lamb, worshiping God together. There you'll find no division, no racism, only unity around Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the ultimate unifier. All other unity is shallow. Jesus is the only answer. Jesus is the only one who can reconcile us to God and with one another. So let's unify around Jesus and commit to sharing him with our divided world. Because the reality is, they're asking. This question of, are Christians racist? It comes up. And we need to show them the love that Jesus gives, the unity that Jesus gives. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, it feels sometimes like the hurts, the divisions that we face, they run deep. And God, we can be so quick to forget the truth that you've created every person. And you love every person. And whether our struggles are because of racial differences or because of differences in thought or beliefs or just anger, God, you call us to unity with one another and unity with you. You've given us the opportunity to be reconciled in relationship with you. And you have given us the ministry of reconciling people with one another. God, let every person in this room who knows the truth of who you are go from here and be a messenger of the truth that you created us all, you love us all, and you sent your son for all of us. And one day, Lord, one day, people from every tribe, tongue, and nation will be gathered together before your throne, worshiping you. And Lord, I pray that one day we, as we look out over the sea of faces, we would see people that we have helped lead into being part of that great worship chorus. That each person here who knows you would reach out to someone this week that they can show that love to. God, help us to be a picture in the church of what heaven will look like in the future. Help us to unify with one another, to stand up for those that are mistreated, and to refuse to allow the lie that racism is built on any ground in our hearts or in our communities. In your name I pray, amen.